fine. A bearded face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you'll give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow.
So if you want to introduce the show over the theme song, it's a more natural way to begin the show. That's your microphone.
It's a new year, pal. It's a clean slate. The previous 22, 23 years, they never happened. It all starts now.
Yep. Some people are just tuning in right now, this instant.
For the first time.
Ever.
Let's just start over.
We have nothing to be ashamed of with those people. They don't know anything that we've done.
That's right. Did you ever make a mistake, like a driving mistake on the highway or on the... like an embarrassing mistake? You went the wrong way down a one-way street or didn't use your blinker. And then you couldn't wait to just turn a corner and be with a whole new set of drivers.
Yeah.
People that never saw you make your mistake.
Exactly.
That's where we are.
Yep.
It's a whole new year.
2015, it's going to be all different.
Nope. Why don't we ask our loyal viewers, the viewers that have been with us for 23, 24 years, to just go away and just start over? Can we just ask them to thank you? Thank you for your patronage. We appreciate your support. But we're starting over. We're going to build a whole new fan base. Would you like to do that?
That's not the strategy I would take, but you go ahead.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure knowing you. We've loved having you with us. I'm talking to our older fans. Goodbye.
You want them to stop and, listening.
Yeah,
right?
Turn it off. And welcome new fans that have never heard us before. Think we may not be losers. They don't know. They think we might have our act together. We might even be cool.
All the old listeners have now tuned out.
Yes.
Here we go. The program is 7-second delay. It's a radio stunt program.
Yeah, we do little new stunts every week. We try to do something you may never have heard before. Anywhere on the radio.
A lot of fun.
We've never stumbled yet.
Plus, we do a live show once a month at Monty Hall.
Yeah.
Where you can come down and it's packed and just riotously fun.
I'm the ornery one. I'm the cranky, crusty one. And Ken is sort of my lovable buffoon straight man.
I'm the straight man. I'm also Andy's boss, though, which sets up this uneven dynamic.
Exactly, Kenny. Exactly. And therein lies the fun.
And we're so glad you've tuned in.
It's where fun meets no fun at all.
7-second delay. Right here on
delay.
WFMU.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 201-209.
We've lost them too.
93.
The people that just tuned in, they're gone too. We're at zero now. Would you have stayed tuned? Would you have stayed with that show if you had never heard that show?
No.
No, me neither. God, I would flee. I would be throwing my radio out the window.
All right, so now we're on to the third wave. We already had our old-time listeners tune out.
We're down to this. People where English is not their first language, and their radio is not working very well, and they're tuning us in by mistake.
They're stuck in a traffic jam. They're just scanning the dial.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome.
Good to have you with us.
We're welcoming them, too. Hey, how was your New Year's Eve?
Very exciting.
Where were you when the big ball fell?
I was in bed, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. How about you?
The actual New Year's evening was kind of quiet, but I was with my family, which was, as you can imagine, pretty horrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't celebrate New Year's Eve because I celebrate the WFMU holiday party instead.
How was that?
Hasn't happened yet.
When is that happening?
You know when it's happening.
No, I don't.
Well?
Is it this, Irwin, when is it? Sunday?
Saturday
night?
Yeah.
What time does it start?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, right here?
Yeah.
Right here at FMU? Montgomery Avenue? Right here? Well, it's so close. You know what I love about this location? It's so close to the PATH train there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what is that called? Exchange Place?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's just like 2 blocks.
Yeah, closed on the weekends.
I don't think it is.
Due to hurricane damage. Yep.
No, it's still running. It's going to be great.
It's been closed due to hurricane damage for months.
I won't be here, but I hope a lot of our listeners show up. So what, you just throw open the doors?
On the weekends.
Come all? It's fantastic. Free dinner? Free food?
No, that's at your house.
Music?
Nope. The free brunch is the next day, Sunday, at the Breckman household in Madison, New Jersey.
No. We've moved.
The secret signal is to knock and then ring the doorbell right away in succession. That means I'm here for the brunch.
The secret signal, so I know you're part of the club, is to not come.
Ooh, very tricky.
Yeah.
It's the people who don't come who are part of the club.
Yeah, they're the cool people. The people who just don't show up, they never bother me. They don't try to contact me. Thank you.
Hey, don't forget we are doing our next live at Monty Hall show.
Oh, yeah.
January 16th at 8 p.m. That's a week from Friday night. It's the 7-second delay, very, very naughty variety hour.
For kids.
For very, very naughty children.
Yes, but this is truly a kid-friendly show. It's more than kid-friendly.
It's a tool for kids.
Yes, we're going to have a nurse there that will teach kids how to fake being sick,
right?
Convincingly
to get out of going to the Boy Scouts or
right.
to school or whatever you need to
We're
get out
have
of.
We're going to have a great magician, Simon Mandel, will be there to not just perform magic. He's going to tell kids how he does the magic,
mm-hmm.
something no other magician ever is supposed to do.
Right. We're going to have jokes by kids, jokes by Evan Breckman.
Jokes by Evan Breckman, performed by a professional stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have
I think we're going to have some of the members of the Bloods and the Crips there.
Well, we're going to have
talking to kids about doing time.
So we're going to have someone who has been to prison. We'd mm-hmm. actually appreciate if anyone out there knows someone who's done time. We want to have someone who's been to prison talk to kids about tattletaling, about snitching,
about the ethics of.
Right. It's not always
life on the streets.
I know your parents tell you.
Prison life.
Your parents tell you that if somebody does something wrong, you're supposed to report it. But maybe there's another side to that question. A prisoner will tell you, mm-hmm. you know, it's not always the right thing to do is to snitch.
Right.
Especially if it's on your friends.
Unless you're a whistleblower, and then it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. And you and what's interesting about that situation is only Ken Friedman knows when it's good or bad to blow the whistle.
That's true.
Yeah. So contact him if you're thinking of snitching.
Well, I'm kind of busy with requests.
Only Ken Friedman knows the difference between snitching and whistleblowing.
You can email me, but I'm way behind.
Yeah. It's a big, big responsibility, Kenny. But we want to talk to, we're going to have an ex-con talk to kids.
Yeah.
And explain why, in many cases, snitches get stitches.
Got it. And this is our kids' show.
It's our kids' show. So it's going to be so much fun. We're going to be breaking a lot of rules. Going to be very subversive. What else are we going to do? Maybe eat pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should definitely have
order some pizza.
We're going to have the mail prankers back, we hope.
Oh, man, that'd be great. I think my kids are coming.
Are adults allowed to come?
Sure.
Okay.
Kids, you bring your parents. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have music? No.
Not a band, no. We'll have our electric piano player.
Maybe Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Playing an electric piano. Kids, have you ever imagined that? You know what a regular piano sounds like, right? Imagine one that's been electrified and plugged into an amp.
Kind of really common, I think.
Oh, my God. The kids are going to go crazy. And at the end of the hour, we're going to have a big treasure hunt.
That's right. We're doing the money hunt again. How much money are you going to hide for the kids?
I think we're going to hide a coupon good for one day off of school.
No, that doesn't work.
That their parents have to respect.
No, that doesn't work.
Why not?
Because the parents are not going to respect that.
Hmm.
You need real cash money. I mean, okay. Even, you know, even a 7 or 8 year old understands real cash money.
Yeah, or maybe there'll be a gift certificate.
No, I think real cash money. I think is that's what we did the last time. I think that's what we should do this.
Baskin Robbins. Kids love Baskin Robbins.
True, but
that's what we're going to do.
If you give them real cash money, they can spend it on anything they want.
Believe me, a $5 gift certificate to Baskin Robbins.
$5.
They're kids. They don't care.
Maybe they don't live anywhere near a Baskin Robbins, and you can't even order that over through the mail.
Then you start writing letters to Baskin Robbins. You get to have them open a franchise in your neighborhood.
The great thing about cash is that it's accepted almost everywhere.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The great thing about cash, from your perspective, is that it comes out of Andy's wallet.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll play it by ear. But it's okay. There's going to be prizes, treasure hunts, nurses giving advice on how to cut school. Magicians telling secrets.
Magicians giving away their secrets. Yep.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Jokes by kids for kids.
And this is January 16th at Monty Hall, 7 Second Delay Live for the very, very
week
naughty
from Friday.
Very, very naughty variety.
Well, you know what?
Hour.
If it's kids, it can't be too late then. We should start it a little early.
We can start right on time at 8 o'clock.
This 8 to 9?
That's what time we say we've been doing it.
It's too late for kids. Because by the time they get home, it's like 9:30, 10.
So shall we do it at 7:30?
Well, let's say 7. Why not 7? Why not? For kids.
Okay.
And then when we do our naughty grown-up show, then we start at 8 o'clock.
Okay. So we've just changed the time for the kids show, January 16th at 7 p.m. Yeah. Good call, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kids can get home.
Right. Because it's a show for kids.
Not be too cranky.
Right. And then we have the adult show.
The following month. Adults only.
February 20th, an adult show, meaning 35 years old or older.
Yes, we're going to card you at the door. You must be 35 or older. It'll be so raunchy, so blue, that anyone under 35 really wouldn't be ready for it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be able to handle
it. If you're under 35, you know, if you're 28 or 29 or something, you can sit at the kids' table in the other room and
listen.
You can see a censored version of the show
on the monitor,
and we'll also have some board games and stuff.
You mean to keep them happy?
Coloring books,
The 20-year-olds,
yeah.
The millennials,
yep.
How old are millennials?
I think in their early 20s, right?
Yeah, they're idiots, aren't they?
In their 20s.
Have you ever met one?
Oh, sure.
They are dumb.
No, there's.
Do you agree?
No. There's smart ones. There's dumb ones.
Yeah, there's smart ones and dumb ones.
Yeah.
I guess I've just been unlucky.
Yeah, you have been unlucky.
I've only met the dumb ones.
I know some. Tell me some dumb millennial stories. Because I work with some very smart millennials right now.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to meet them. The only ones I met are the ones you have on staff upstairs.
Well, they're some of the very smart millennials I was referring to.
No, I'm talking about the ones upstairs on the fourth floor.
You want to name names? I don't know any dumb people upstairs on the fourth
floor. Your staff! Oh, my God! I'm talking about the ones that sit right outside your office.
You can't think of their names, though.
Well, okay. Let's see. Who have I offended and turned
what's
off?
What's the dumbest millennial... What's the dumbest thing a millennial has said to you in the last week?
I love this. Ice water. You got to give me the recipe.
That is your imitation of a millennial. I love this ice water. You got to give me the recipe.
That was a dumb millennial.
Yeah, that's like, I think that's a brain-damaged millennial.
Oh, maybe that would explain it.
Yeah.
He did have a big iron bar coming out of his cranium.
So most of the millennials you know are from the trauma unit.
That was the only one that I
didn't know.
And to be fair, he did recently suffer an industrial accident.
I'm glad we straightened that out.
Yeah.
All right. Tonight, though, we're doing the Pete Best Award.
Dear God, we haven't even begun.
Yeah, it's the Pete Best Award show. We want to find the best Pete Best story out there.
What do you mean by Pete Best?
An opportunity that you squandered.
Would you say Pete Best squandered an opportunity?
Well, that was Pete Best was a little different because he was kicked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would be, tell us about how you should have been a contender. It really is that.
How you should have made a fortune, you should have been famous, but you blew it.
Yeah, you made one wrong decision. And Ken, you want to kick this off with your own story?
Yeah, I have a story, but first let me tell you the phone number is 201-209-9368.
Oh, that's a new phone number. It's a new year with a new phone number.
Yep.
I'm making a note, 201-209-9368. And, of course, it spells out. It might be easier to remember. Zippity-doo-dah. Zippity-doo-dah on your dial.
No, not even close.
201-209, zip bad.
No, zip, see, zip, Z is zero, and it doesn't start with zero.
I gotcha, okay, so, my bad.
Yeah.
201-209-9368.
The Pete Best Award, your stories of squandered opportunities.
Right.
And here's my story.
You had an opportunity to buy Google, you had an opportunity stock, you had an opportunity to buy Apple stock, invest in this, invest in that.
Yeah.
And you have a story to kick us off, and we're going to give a prize to whoever lost the most money,
yeah,
right? To whoever would have made the most money. And you go first. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. Right after I graduated college, my father had put money aside for me, my brother, and sister. And he urged us all to buy a building in Manhattan on Gramercy Park, some like really expensive Gramercy Park townhouse. Had gone up for sale for $350,000.
Wow. Wait, what year was this?
82.
$350,000, a building in Gramercy Park.
Yeah.
Like a standalone brownstone kind of? Did you go and look at it?
No, but I saw pictures of it.
And what was your reaction? It seems like a no-brainer. It seems like a great investment.
Well, my brother and sister had zero interest, and I had like only very, very minor interest. And then I said, no, I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with a building at that
time. But
they
have management companies that you just put on the payroll.
You know what? I wasn't thinking clearly because I was so young and stupid.
Oh, wait, you didn't tell me you were a millennial.
No, this was before millennials.
Oh, yeah, you know, of course.
We were dreaming of being as smart as brain-damaged millennials.
You were pre-millennial. And then, so you pass and your siblings passed.
Yeah.
And a building like that, we could go online and see what they're selling for.
Probably 10 to 15 million.
And this was not even your money that was going to be invested.
It was money that my father had put aside for
all you had to
for,
do was
for investments. All we had to do was say, yeah, we'll do it, and then be responsible for it.
So your father offered it to you. You guys passed, and then your father walked away from it as well?
Yeah.
And did your father spend the next 25 years saying, told you so?
Not the next 25 years. The total amount of time that he spent saying, I told you so, probably only amounted to like 2 years overall.
And have you been kicking yourself? Do you lie awake at night thinking about what might have been and...
I bought a machine that kicks me. It has a solar panel.
So you would have made... Now, you wouldn't have made... Okay, so you would have split it... you had two siblings, so you would have split it three ways.
Three ways, right.
And then there would have been cost incurred over the years.
Sure.
So we can't say you'd make $15 million.
Yeah, so let's say it would have been worth $12 million, so my cut would have been $4 million.
But over the year... But $4 million, you mean if you bought it and then sold it... But there'd be taxes to pay, capital gains taxes.
True, yeah.
And there would have been upkeep in all those years. But you probably have rented it out all those years, right?
Could have rented it out.
Or lived there
and
gotten value from it.
Yep.
So I'm going to say, and this is kind of arbitrary, but I'm going to say you walked away from $7 million.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, because you would have rented it out. You would have, I would say... Over the years, it could have been rented out for a fortune.
Well, yeah, I would say a much lower number, but fine. Put me down for $7 million.
Okay, $7 million is what you lost. Okay, so, Ken, right now, that's the number to beat. We're looking for people who have missed opportunities in their lives. They were offered something. They should have said yes. They should have said yes.
Yeah, a listener emailed me today. He can't call. He's in Europe, but... He said that his uncle had the opportunity to be the main sales executive to bring the Rubik's Cube from Hungary to America.
Wow.
And he passed it up because he didn't think the Rubik's Cube would go anywhere.
I guess if you look at a Rubik's Cube, you kind of understand some people would be skeptical. So it's the Pete Best Award. You know, speaking of the Beatles, one of my favorite quotes of all time is, I remember in an interview, someone asked Ringo Starr the secret of his success. And Ringo's answer was, I said yes.
That's right.
And that's the greatest, that's all it takes in life sometimes, saying yes at the right time. And so we want to hear your stories of the times you said no at the wrong times.
Do you have a story?
I don't think I ever had a financial opportunity. Well, you know what? I guess, like everybody else, I do think about comic book. You know, I often go online and I see comic books being auctioned and being sold. Silver Age comics.
Oh, that you had?
And I owned. And let that slip away. And I even know the name of the neighbor that I sold them to for like a nickel a piece. You know, just I know the name of the kid.
But are these things that are really worth a lot of money now?
Yeah. These are key issues, Silver Age key issues.
Like how much?
Like some of them $15,000, some of them $16,000, $20,000. These are first appearances, number one, number two issues. And at the time, they were in mint condition right off the rack. And I sold them for a nickel or a dime a piece. So does that count?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't add up to $7 million.
No.
You still have the prize.
Yeah.
The Pete Best Award. And what is the prize? What are we giving out?
A drumstick.
That's the prize today? Oh, for Pete Best.
Yeah. We're writing the name Pete Best on it. They didn't ever actually belong to him.
May I suggest, instead of a drumstick, may I just suggest a coupon for one day off of school?
Okay. No problem giving that out tonight.
How about a coupon for 1 week off of 7 Second Delay? You don't have to listen next week.
That I cannot do.
Very valuable coupon.
I cannot give those away. All right, Michael in Boston, you're on the air.
Hi.
You love the show.
I guess. The senior year of my college, technical college in California, this company, Microsoft, comes recruiting, and they're demonstrating their new operating system, MS-DOS, on this new small computer called the IBM PC.
What year is this, sir?
I think it was around 81.
Yeah, okay. That would have been 81, yeah.
And
they were recruiting to hire people?
Yeah, and I did some computer things, but I mostly trusted in what people I knew who knew computers were saying when they were there. And they pointed out that MS-DOS, from what they had seen, had a terrible memory model and was largely ripped off from CPM, and it was all in all about as crappy an operating system as you could imagine being commercially available. And so I didn't even think of going to work for them. At that point, I didn't realize that crappy technology often is one that wins out.
And you would have been in on the ground floor, and you're thinking stock options when we say that.
Yep.
And what might somebody who said yes, a colleague of yours who said yes, what might they have walked away with?
It's very hard to say because some people could last there very long and other people couldn't. So let's say maybe $500,000or $50 million and a stay in an insane asylum are what I missed out on.
So it sounds like you have no regrets.
Oh, I would love to have the money, but it was all, as far as I can tell, a truly hellish place to work for back then. I do know someone who went to work there and didn't get rich precisely because he just couldn't tolerate it.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard, you hear the horror stories about working at Microsoft.
Well, especially back then.
Yeah. But being an early employee of a company like Microsoft, yeah, that could easily have beat $7 million.
Yeah. But there's no way to put a value on it, I guess. Because this gentleman doesn't think he would have. How many years do you have?
There is a way. No, there is a way to. Yes, exactly. I was going to say there is a way to get a number, which is to pull a number out of your ass.
Mm-hmm. $25 million.
Let's put him down for 25.
How many years do you have to work at a startup like Microsoft to be fully vested and for the stocks to...
It really depends. You continually get more stock options, and the old ones continue to vest. I think in the old days at Microsoft, there was like 2-year vesting, but it later became, I think, 4-year vesting. I'm not sure.
Hey, you want to join Uncle Andy Toys Incorporated? I have a startup.
I actually asked you if I could, and you said no.
You offer to invest?
Yeah.
Can I rethink that?
Yeah, sure.
I'll take your money.
Right. Well, thanks, Michael.
Sure. Bye.
So Michael's winning with $25 million.
You think so, that he walked away from?
Yeah, I think he pulled the number out of his ass, but I'd go along with it.
$25 million for saying no to Microsoft.
Yeah. As pre-Windows, so as a super early employee. You know, he would have gotten really nice stock options.
If I sold you 20% of any future earnings of my toy company right now for $400,000 cash, if you had $400,000 cash, would you take it?
No. Damn. Hey, this is the year of Uncle Andy Toys, though. Damn. I think 2015 has already been designated as the year of Uncle Andy Toys. This is the year. Next Christmas, Who Tooted gets... comes out in 35 countries. Can't wait.
But you won't be investing. That says everything you need to know.
I don't have $400,000 to invest.
You know why you don't? Because you didn't buy the townhouse.
Yeah, true.
So because you didn't buy the townhouse, because you were an idiot, I have to suffer.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I'm the real victim here.
Yes, I see that.
No, seriously, 400 grand?
Man, you're desperate for money.
I'm saying please.
Jesus. You're looking for an investor for Uncle Andy Toys.
I'm saying please.
If I had the money,
I would?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I need to hear.
Great ideas.
Thanks, my friend.
I'm convinced one of your ideas is going to take
off. I'm just 400 grand short of 400 grand.
Yeah. So we're trying to give out the Pete Best Award. Right now, Michael from Boston is in the lead.
Because he said no to Microsoft.
We're
at 201-209-9368.
Even if you can't beat Michael, we would like to hear your missed opportunity story. The investment you didn't buy.
I bet a lot of people had their hands on valuable collectibles, right?
Oh, yeah. I've let go a lot of valuable collectibles.
Who knew? Who knew? Who knew?
What do you mean?
Who knew that you, when you had these things in your hand, that they might be worth something? Am I right, boys and girls? Who knew?
You do that very well. It's very convincing.
Is there a gun that I could borrow?
No, there's a baseball bat, metal baseball bat.
We'll get there.
Yeah. You know why we keep a metal baseball bat here in the main studio?
Why?
Because it's very hard to kill yourself with a metal baseball bat.
I could do it.
If we had a gun here, people would be killing themselves all the time.
You know who I miss? I was with my grandkids all vacation.
Uh-huh.
That's the sweetest.
How old are they?
My granddaughter is 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 2 little babies that were born last year.
Wow, even younger than 2.
2 boys, yeah.
Man.
But boy, that's the sweetest. You miss them. You miss them when they, I wish they lived closer.
Did you do the Hanukkah bush thing with them? Indoctrinating them into the Hanukkah thing?
We sort of did a casual Hanukkah. By the time we were together, Hanukkah was over.
Oh, so it was over. Did it.
Oh. Sort of almost a symbolic.
Yeah.
Very casual.
And you wouldn't do a Christmas.
Lighting of the candle.
You wouldn't do a Christmas thing with them, right?
No. I mean, Beth is Jewish, so there's no reason.
Christmas is just too much fun.
Yeah, I know you.
Everybody loves Christmas too much, so you have to not do it.
I have to be ornery.
Be different.
And be Jewish.
Yep.
You think that's the underlying tenet of Judaism?
Yeah. Hating Christmas, resenting the amount of fun.
Well, there's a lot to be said.
That us Christmas that. People
you've given
get
us
to have.
You've given us a lot to think about, Ken.
30% of American Jews celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, it's fun to make up statistics.
I didn't make that one up.
No, of course not.
Somebody else made it up, and I'm just repeating it.
Yeah, that's so much fun.
Hey, it's Troy in North Bergen. You're on the air.
Hey, Troy. Thanks for calling. You love the show.
Love the show. How you guys doing?
Oh, thanks a lot, brother. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
It does. It's great to hear from Troy in North
Carolina. Yeah, this is a whole new. It's a whole new year. We're starting afresh.
I used to listen to you guys, but then I had it turned off, and then I turned it back on.
Oh,
anyway,
you got disgusted for a while.
I love that story. Did you hear that
story
you told?
Found it 1802 half penny. You guys have a computer; you can check it out.
Wait, your brother?
Yes.
Wait, he found an 1802 half penny? In a stream. Wait, and is this something that you might have found if you had looked left or right a little earlier?
Yeah, we were walking together. 1802 Halfpenny. I don't know if you guys can look up the value of it.
I'm looking it up.
He was wrestling the next day, lost it in the grass. We never found it.
Wait a minute. You found this penny.
$5,000.
Wait, you found this $5,000 penny.
1802 Halfpenny.
Okay, worth $5,000, right? Is that about
five,
right?
$5,000 in good condition.
Okay,
yeah.
And then he puts it where? In his pocket? Where was it?
Yeah, in the pocket.
And then you're wrestling the next day.
He was wrestling with one of my other brothers and came out. So we ran over and got the one of those things to, you know, find it. What do you?
Yeah, metal detector.
Never found it. Searched for days.
Oh,
for
man.
Weeks.
Oh. It's a good story, though.
I love every part of this story.
Right?
The walk in the stream, the brother finding it.
The mud wrestling.
The mud wrestling with the other brother, the metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie. This is a very bad, low-budget movie.
All right, thanks.
Part of a movie.
Thanks, Troy.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's $5,000. So that's not a Pete Best winner.
No.
It's not an award winner.
But it's
winner.
A good story.
Oh, my God. How long would you look for it with it before you gave up?
If it was worth $5,000?
I'd still be out there.
Yeah, I'd be looking a long time.
I'd still be out there.
Yeah. The phone number is 201-209-9368 for your squandered opportunity story.
I'd be back in that stream. I'd be sifting through the mud and the sand in that stream.
Were they wrestling in a stream?
No, that's where he found the penny the day before.
Oh, I see.
That's a lucky stream.
Yeah, 1802 Halfpenny. Damn, I mean, is that like from colonial America or is that from England?
I don't know. I know they were made around in the early 1800s. Hmm. That's when they were struck. I know they were worth about half of what a penny was worth at the time.
Yeah. That's why they were called half pennies.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably how they got their name.
Yep.
Worth half a penny.
Yeah. You could buy a lot of stuff with half a penny back then, though. It was a little different than now.
Yeah. Like the dollar store back then. That was the fanciest store in town, my friend.
Absolutely.
People saved up. People got dressed up to go to the dollar store. Now, very, very few people dress up to go to the dollar store.
No. I still go to the dollar store.
I love the dollar store.
Me too.
You know what I love doing at the dollar store?
What?
Walking up and down the aisle asking how much these things are. Excuse me. Hello. This bag of cotton balls? That's a dollar, sir. That's what I love to do at the dollar store. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Hello. These safety pins? That's a dollar, sir. Everything's a dollar. Okay, I got you.
How long before they usually call security on you when you do
it's
this?
It's great. If you act really dumb, they feel sorry for you.
And they never call security?
You could go almost half a day.
Wow.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Excuse me? These magic markers?
That sounds like fun.
Sir, everything in the store is a dollar. $1. I got you. Okay.
Give me a call next time you do this.
Suppose I bought two. Sir, that would be $2. I got you. Thank you. Sorry to bother you.
So I had so much fun that time we went to the library. What you were doing there.
I don't recall.
That I would love to go to the dollar store with you. The phone number is 201-209-9368.
I keep that up until the voice in my head starts saying, what is wrong with you?
I thought you never heard that voice. What is wrong with you?
He's become a very good friend of mine.
Really?
That voice.
You do hear that voice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, should we plug next? Oh, wait.
The kids show.
Wait, is that this Friday?
No, it's a week from Friday, January 16th at 7 p.m.
Oh,
The very, very naughty variety hour.
You have to come to Jersey City.
For kids.
The doors open at 7 o'clock. Are we charging money at the door?
Yeah, $5.
$5 for grown-ups.
For grown-ups. Kids are free. Yeah.
And a part of that money will be put in the treasure chest, right?
Right.
That the kids can find?
The cash money scavenger hunt we're going to have.
But we're going to have magicians that tell you secrets? Oh, it's going to be so subversive, so naughty, so much fun. We're going to have nurses that tell you how to act sick. We're going to have real criminals that tell you all of why you shouldn't snitch.
Not violent criminals.
No, not violent criminals.
Like white-collar criminals, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Gordon Gekko, we're going to get some financial... Financial criminals.
Look, there'll be a lot of kids there, a lot of parents there. Whatever criminal we have will never be able to get us all.
Right.
Even if he goes berserk.
There's just too many of us.
Too many of us.
We always get a good crowd. And that's part of the reason why we always get a good crowd. There is safety in numbers.
No, there won't be a violent criminal.
Well, maybe, no, but it's a great
you know,
tactic.
You know what we should do? We should get some white-collar criminal and have them all chained up like King Kong on the stage with collars and chains and chains around his ankles and wrists and just have him talk to us about snitching behind bars.
That is so funny. We should get somebody strapped to a hand cart wearing Hannibal Lecter.
Kids, I want to talk to you about snitching. No, we're going to have so much fun.
Oh, please, can we do that?
Yeah, it'll be so much fun. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, Kiernan in Goshen is on the line. Hi, you're on the air, Kiernan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You love the show?
Yeah.
You can't believe you got through. You can't believe you got through.
I thought for a show like this, the holding time would probably be hours.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you got very lucky. You slipped right through. You got very lucky. Ken, do we want to pursue this?
Yeah. Hey, Kiernan. So, tell us your Pete Best story.
My story. Hold on.
Your story of woe.
Look it up.
Yes.
Turn to the story.
Back about 5 years ago, I was doing some studies, independent studies, and came to the conclusion that the proper I've been going number two incorrectly for my entire life, and not to be faulted, but it's society's fault. Which led me to an invention to essentially put you in a proper pooping position.
Oh wait, is he talking about pooping?
He's saying that he was pooping incorrectly. Oh. He seems to be saying that he was pooping incorrectly, and then he made an invention.
Do you want to bring him to the kids' show?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll invite him to the kids' show.
I don't think I want him at the kids' show. No, I think I think I'm going to hang up on him. Yeah.
If we had him on the kids' show, we'd have him in chains, though.
Yeah.
Let me just assure everyone.
Oh, damn. Is that the guy we were going to put on the hand cart with the Hannibal Lecter mask?
Could have been.
Oh.
He's certainly qualified.
Yeah.
Hey, we're at 201-209-9368. But, you know, somebody could have come close to inventing something or thinking of something that becomes super popular.
Yeah. Oh, I invented the Walkman.
I remember you told that. We did a show like this.
Yeah.
I had the idea for the banister. Alongside the stairways.
Oh, yeah, banister.
Yeah, and that's
going next to stairways.
Become very popular.
Well, that's funny, actually.
I should have patented that.
I remember I was at this medieval Spanish palace, the Alhambra.
Yeah.
And they had banisters.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's like half a century before you were born.
I'm surprised it took you 40 minutes to mention your visit to the Alhambra. Ken always will shoehorn his relationship with the Alhambra.
I was
into
very
any conversation.
I was very impressed with the banisters
at the Alhambra.
At the Alhambra.
201-209-9368. Yeah, that metal baseball bat's looking pretty sweet.
But because you want to use it on me, you would not use it on yourself. Am I
never
right?
Without permission. Oh, Kenny. So we're looking for stories. If you've lost money,
I believe Tommy from NeverSync is on the air. Hi, Tommy. You're on the air.
From NeverSync? Is that the name of the town?
NeverSync's up on the Hudson River, yeah.
That's the name of the town?
No. It's not on the Hudson River.
Oh, where's NeverSync?
It's by one of New York. NeverSync is one of the reservoirs for New York City.
Oh, I was thinking of Narrowsburg. Right. Where's NeverSync?
Narrowsburg's on the Delaware, by the way.
That's right, the Delaware.
Boy, this is the dumbest conversation I've ever heard.
Yeah, let's end here. All right, okay. Tommy from NeverSync.
So I thought I was the only one that did that at the dollar store.
Walked around asking how much things are.
I always ask the cashier how much things are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's funny.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
The other day, I went to this grocery store.
The other day?
The other day.
Yeah, okay.
And bought a yogurt. And I got home and realized I had a coupon to get 50 cents off of that same yogurt.
Oh, Tommy. Tommy, you know,
So your
you got to forgive yourself. So the eventually
the number that you lost is 50 cents.
50 cents.
I would say upwards of 50 cents. Mm-hmm. I would be 50 cents richer at this point.
Stop beating yourself up, Tommy.
If not, if I had been paying attention.
But of course, you could always use that coupon next week.
No, it expired.
It expired.
The next day.
That is so terrible.
The next day? What are the odds of that?
It was one of them 24-hour coupons.
This guy's okay. This guy's okay with me. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Tommy.
Yeah, 201-209-9368. So he was being, he was having fun with us.
He was being honest.
Yeah. He was joining in the spirit of things.
He heard that we were hurting for calls, and he called.
That was a pity call, wasn't
it? Yeah, and he's got a great voice. I love Tommy from Never Sings Voice.
That was a pity call.
I'd say so, but it was a good-natured pity call.
Well, we thank you for those pity
calls. He kind of sounded like Tom Baudet, the Motel 6 spokesman. He had a great thing going there.
God, we'd be lost without those pity
Tommy
calls.
Tommy from Never Sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great name for a town, too.
Never Sink?
Yeah.
If you're worried about your town sinking, I guess it's a good name.
I bet people who survived the Titanic, I bet a lot of them moved there. That must have been pretty appealing. Irresistible.
But, I mean, you're not worried about your town sinking.
Yeah.
I guess
I want to go to a place that I know won't sink.
A boat. You don't want to go on a boat that sinks, but nobody thinks about a whole town sinking. Even in Florida where they have sinkholes, entire towns don't sink.
That's a good name for a boat, actually, the Never Sink.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're thinking.
The Buoyant.
Why don't they ever name boats sensible names like that?
The Never Sink.
The Unsinkable. They never do.
Yeah. It's so interesting. First show of the year, we have run out of conversation.
We have. But we have another call. Mm. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
You're on the air, Bob.
Best stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed opportunities.
I guess it was about 1978.
I love the story so far.
Now we're talking.
This story already has something for everyone.
This guy worked with, was older than I and in poor health. And I was in my early 20s. He was in his mid-40s. And he offered that we take out mutual life insurance policies on each other so that if anything happened to him, I would get $2 million. And if anything happened to me, he would get $2 million.
Well, that's
But since he was in poor health, obviously the premium would be higher. So he offered that he would pay the premium that I would owe on his policy.
Wait. Was he in love with you?
No, he was very eccentric.
I'd say so.
We made a lot of money together.
Okay.
I made a lot of money for him, I guess is more like it. And he was very generous with it. He shared quite generously. And this is one of the ways I think he offered to do it.
You mean he knew he was not long for the world?
More than I did, yeah.
I see.
He actually smoked. Actually, he never not smoked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's not making a bad financial choice. That's making a kind of a positive ethical choice.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I turned it down on creepiness grounds.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily an ethical. People use life insurance all the time.
But not your friend that you think is sick.
What would
you do with that money?
Not so. People use life insurance policies as financial instruments. That's just something that people of wealth do that.
No. We're talking about transferring money from, taking money, making money from a friend's death, profiting.
Well, he was.
Which he may have had reason to suspect.
He was
proposed. As it came shortly thereafter.
But could you enjoy that money? What would you do with that money?
No, I couldn't bring myself to
But it sounded like, Bob, it sounded like he was trying to help you out. You would have gotten, $5 million or something?
A couple million.
But what would you, it would be blood money.
Blood money, an insurance payout.
Bob was uncomfortable.
I agree, it's creepy,
I'm surprised Andy's taking the ethical high ground here, but I
do it sometimes for kicks and giggles.
Yeah.
I
have about $8 million of life insurance on Andy. And I'll admit sometimes I get tempted to hire somebody.
It explains a lot. You know, it explains that metal baseball bat.
Well, Bob, that's a great story, though. Thank you.
You should have key man insurance on me. You should. I'm the key man here.
Didn't the guy from Virgin Records, one of the singers from reggae singer, when he signed to Virgin Records, told Chris Blackwell that he took out an insurance policy that his contract said he would only work for Virgin Records as long as Chris Blackwell was there, and Chris Blackwell said, "Oh, I'm greatly honored. I'm very honored with this." And the guy said, "No, I did this so I could get out of the contract anytime I wanted."
Yeah.
Wait, I don't understand that story. You mean Chris Blackwell was going to quit?
No, he would have offed him if he wanted to get out of the contract.
Oh, he would. Oh, I could kill you, and yeah. I'm out of the contract.
Yeah. Oh, but key man policies are, you know, are very common.
Why don't you have one on me?
FMU has a key man policy on me.
Do they?
Yes.
No, seriously.
Seriously, they do.
A key man?
Yeah, we've had a key man.
Do you know what? Because key, I guess, has many different definitions.
They've had a key man policy on me for over 20 years.
You mean if you died, FMW, the station would collect money? What would they do with that money in lieu of your presence?
They would have money to hire people to fill the gap.
Fill the gap that you leave?
Yeah.
How much money is that?
I think the policy's for like $1.5 million or something.
Oh, man, I can never tell when you're joking.
I'm not joking.
You're good, man. Your dry sense of humor sometimes gets me.
Hey, Bob, thanks for calling.
Thanks
Actually,
for calling.
If you don't have anybody else on the line, I have another part to the story.
Well, I'm afraid we do, but we're going to come back to you.
Yeah. That was a great story, Bob. Thank you.
Astonishingly, we have other callers. 201-209-9368.
It's Cuba from Germany. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, is this
love
the first
the show?
Thanks, Cuba. That means the world. Wait, are you a first-time caller?
Actually, second time.
Wait, we're visiting Germany.
That time was pretty low, too.
Wait. My family's visiting Germany this summer in July.
Oh, that's right. You're
going to
be...
Where are they going?
Well, where are you?
You're going to be outside Cologne, I think.
I don't remember. Where are you? My wife's family is from a town there, but I don't remember the name of the town.
It's a small town outside Cologne, I think, like half an hour outside.
Are you near Cologne?
No, I'm former GDR, so east.
Oh, lucky you, Cuba. Okay. Lucky you. Otherwise, you might have ended up having to show the Breckmans around Germany.
You have 5 months to relocate yourself and get yourself ready for our visit. You have 5 months to relocate to Cologne and rent a 7-room house.
Hey, wait, the Breckmans, that's a German name, isn't it?
Very German.
Well, it was actually an Ellis Island mistake. It was originally Brockman. There was a typo. But I think it's German. It could be.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Kuba, tell us your Pete Best story.
I'm an artist sometimes, and at one point I was offered to be a VJ for a pretty famous DJ. And I think this was my last and only shot to make any like commercial money with art ever.
Wait, you were an artist. You were an artist, and there was a job offer that came your way. It was to do what?
To be a VJ.
To be the the visual artist, the video guy for a DJ show.
Oh, like an MTV-ish show that would show videos?
No. On stage, have been visuals behind the stage.
And why did you say no?
And I would have done that on tour.
So if you could go back, you would have you regret that decision. You should have said yes.
Oh, I regret it so much, and I beat myself up every time I bring it up again.
Stop flogging yourself.
No,
Cuba.
No. I think there's no more rational response. You should flog yourself even harder. What was your rationale at the time? What did you tell yourself at the time?
Oh, I had like tons of super rational reasons, but I think it boils just down to, I don't know, fear probably. Just
right.
I wasn't up to the task.
Fear of failure. Yes. Oh, you'd be a star now.
Actually,
you'd be on Easy Street.
Healthy to beat myself up.
Let me tell you about your life. So your life right now would be so different. You'd be living large.
Why are you trying to make Cuba feel bad?
I'm just being honest. I'm not telling him anything he doesn't tell himself at 5 in the morning. Oh my gosh! terrible mistake. I can see why you would be so hard on yourself. You'd be in a huge house.
Yeah.
You'd be so happy. You'd be surrounded by people who love and admire you.
He might very well have
just marginally famous, probably.
Yeah, oh my gosh! Oh, just, what a sweet life you would have had. This parallel life. This hypothetical almost life. Let's call it your almost life.
Cuba, I'm so sorry for Andy.
Yeah,
for
what?
The call.
Why?
You're being so mean to this guy.
Wait, do you mean my?
In a way, it feels comforting.
Exactly.
Someone is agreeing with me.
Well, yes. Hello, I'm the first honest man you've met in 30 years. Well, we'll have a lot to talk about this summer when you will pick us up at the airport.
All right. In your
rented van.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the call, Cuba.
Thanks, Cuba.
Thank you.
I'm gonna have so much fun with Cuba. All my German listeners and friends.
What are the dates you're going to be in Germany?
I don't remember. I don't know. Beth is organizing.
Yeah, okay. Well, we probably have time for one more call. It's Brian in Red Bank. Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great now that you called.
So, this is like the sort of, I guess it was the late 90s or so when tattoos were becoming really popular. And I had a sort of aha moment on the beach when I saw all these people in these tattoos, these awful tattoos everywhere. And I realized, they were so horrible, and there were so many people with tattoos that in 10 or 15 years, they're all going to want these tattoos off. So I went to work. I was like, there's got to be a way to make money off of this. So I did all this research into laser companies, trying to find who was on the cutting edge of tattoo removal technology. And I did a ton of work. I had this file of papers of all these different companies.
And you mean you were gonna invest? Your idea was you were gonna invest in one of these companies?
I was gonna invest. I was gonna buy stock in these companies.
This guy is so smart. He's just based on human nature, based on his observation, he made a leap. He anticipated this demand for this product.
But it's a very roundabout way of capitalizing on tattoo removal.
He's absolutely right, though. Things exploded.
No, yeah, but if I was going to try to capitalize on tattoo removal, there's much more direct ways to do it.
Well, he doesn't want to open a tattoo removal store.
Well, you could just grow the parts, just like start gathering human skin, just start collecting human skin and tissue culture, growing human skin.
Is that
I had nowhere to store that.
And maintaining it and storing it.
Wait, is that part of tattoo removal?
Skin, yeah.
It is?
Lots of human
skin.
Wait,
they graft human skin onto your skin?
Yes, that's one of the ways they do it.
And they get a complexion match?
Yeah, well, you have to have a wide variety of samples. Of
human skin?
Of human skin.
So there are people out there that are cultivating human skin samples? How do they collect it? Off of recently deceased bodies?
No, you can't use
pay people for their skin?
There's various methods.
No, use a laser removal.
Well, that's one way of doing it.
But who grafts human skin onto your skin?
Skin grafters.
But it's never going to be a perfect match unless they take it from somewhere else on your body.
No, you have to have like a wide variety of human samples, of human tissue samples. And it's just like going to the hardware store and looking for the right swatch.
I didn't come across any of this in my research.
These are the the circles that I travel in. So.
Oh, that reminds me. I hate it here.
I
hate joking around.
So Brian,
I'm reminded why.
Did you actually invest in one of these laser companies?
Well, I had this file with three companies I had chosen, right? They all had these laser companies. And my problem was that I had absolutely no money to invest.
And if you had 10 grand at the time, how much money would you be worth now?
Well, here's what happened is I put that file, and just a couple of years ago, I was going through cleaning out files, and I found the file, and I typed the company's name in, and the stock had tripled.
Yeah. Well, so if you had put in 10 grand, you would have made 20 grand, but you would have had to pay...
Well, the stock tripled, 30 grand.
Yeah, well, that was one of the companies.
No, he would have
and
netted...
I didn't want to check the other two companies after
he
that.
Would have netted 20 grand.
I see.
I was depressed, and I was angry about the stock market and how it's just a game for rich people.
Yeah, but then you would have lost 7 grand of that in taxes, so you're out 13 grand.
Your story has touched my heart.
But it's a good story.
Thank you very much.
Especially the part about all the human samples.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
What a great riff we were on.
Yeah.
We were rolling, man.
Michael in Portland, you're on the air. Make it fast. We're almost out of time.
Okay, well, I think this one takes the cake. Because about 10 years ago, I started receiving gift cards for Christmas and birthdays. And people really got into giving Borders gift cards.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Borders books. And they kept stacking up. At the time, I was kind of like, really anti going to a big bookstore. I wanted to go to the independent bookstore. So
right, right.
Stacking them up, didn't want to use them. And then...
I know where this is going.
Oh, man. And then
this is,
finally I realized they expire after, like, something ridiculous, like 2 years in Oregon. And I was bummed out, but I kept them in my, like, stock drawer. I had this, like, envelope full of Borders gift cards staring at me. And then I realized that, like, on the back is listed the states they don't expire in. So then I was like, I'm going to go to California. Next time I go to California or...
I love this story.
One of the other states, I'll, like, take them with me. So I...
What could be wrong with that plan?
Yeah.
How much did you have in Borders gift cards?
Well, I don't even know because I never went in and checked. But I had probably, like...
You should have traded them in for Blockbuster Video gift cards.
That's right, yeah. I should have traded them for, like, a...
Yeah.
You can get anything at Borders, though.
So you wake up one day and you read the headline, Borders is Chapter 11.
Exactly.
So
and I had it in my suitcase. I even made it to California like 2 or 3 times.
Wow.
Which is in my suitcase.
So you're out like $100 or something.
Oh, man.
Man.
Well, you're still,
that's rough.
You still kick yourself.
Yeah.
You're still mad.
That's rough, Michael. We are out of time. Thanks for your call. Don't forget, we are going to be live at Monty Hall 1 week from Friday, January 16th at 7 p.m., the very, very naughty variety hour for kids.
If you can't make it, if you're not going to be there, write to Ken at ken@wfmu.org and tell him why.
Yeah, fine, no problem.
If it's a good enough excuse, Ken will excuse you.
Yep. And this is WFMU East Orange.
Wait, am I back next week? Or
yeah, we're back next week.
Why don't we run the show? Why don't we run the kids show next week?
Because it's not until after next week's Wednesday show. What is wrong with you? We're not doing the kids show this Friday. We're doing the kids show a week from Friday, January 16th.
All right, so you don't have a good answer.
So therefore,
all right.
Next Wednesday, January 14th.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have a good answer. You just,
hey, thank you, Veronica.
You think just yelling and talking loud makes you right.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you, Nick the Bard.
Yeah, thanks to all.
For your help with the show. We are online at WFMU.org and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for YOY with Andrea.
Coming up on the show, my guest and I drink beer with ice.
We like to call it the Kansas cocktail.
But first, we have to get the voice disguise right.
Hello. Hello. Lower.
How's this?
Hello. Hello. No, this is... People will still be able to recognize me. Lower.
Do you want, like, full demon voice? She's the girlfriend of a past guest of mine.
We had a beautiful 10 months together.
Want to guess who? Here's a clue.
We were talking, and a couple Long Island iced teas later, and I was back at his apartment.
What was that like? I've never been to his place.
It was nice. The light of the aquarium, he's got these, frogs, and so the lights of the aquariums or I'm sorry, terrariums. It gave like a soft glow to his apartment, and we made love.
Stay with us.
My heart is beating, beating like 8 o'clock. My heart is beating, you can hear it talk. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. My heart goes beep, beep, beep. You answer my thoughts. My heart beats a little faster. True love at such a cost. A cardiac disaster. Beep, beep.
Listening to YOY and talking with Sandy. We spoke shortly before New Year's. Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
I've never put ice in my beer before.
Really?
Mm-mm. I've done the thing where you like wrap a paper towel around it and you put it in the freezer, but I've never known anyone who was into this. But it's working. I mean, it's good.
Just seems like common sense. Your beer is warm. Throw some ice in there.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's like iced coffee. It's like a little less bitter and strong. And
we like to call it the Kansas cocktail.
I love it. So I was thinking, would you voice disguise? And so right now I have a filter going that makes your voice like really high pitched, like kind of like a chipmunk or a baby.
That's not me.
Okay.
I'm like a grown up woman. Okay, I'm soulful.
Okay, so we could do something lower. How's this?
Hello. Hello. Lower.
How's this?
Hello, hello. No, this is... People will still be able to recognize me. Lower.
Do you want, like, full demon voice?
Hello, hello. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, cool. We'll go with this.
This really channels my energy, you know?
So you want to come on YOY and talk about a past guest of mine. And I do this often where, you know, there's two sides to every dating story and we want to get at the real one. So I'm so glad you reached out.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, I don't know if one of Randy's exes has been on the show before.
No, definitely not.
I just felt compelled to call
him. I mean, I actually never thought that he would be capable of a committed relationship. So this is interesting.
We had a beautiful 10 months together.
How did you meet? Like, when did he first come into your life?
Oh, well, you know, just to know a little about me, I'm 25. You know, I always had a dream of being a musician. And so basically for the last 5 years, I've just been like going from town to town. Like I was in the Midwest and then I moved to New York and I started playing guitar at coffee shops and stuff. And so I booked a 5 p.m. gig at the Ginger House.
In Murray Hill.
And, you know, I was playing a song about my dad called Walking on Eggshells, and all of a sudden I see this really, really handsome man across the room, and he was just like, it felt like he could, like, see into me. You know, I mean, there were only two other people there, but still, like, it was like a laser beam was focused on me. Like, I was the star.
Yeah, like sex eyes? Just like do it eyes?
It was like do it eyes, but also like, it was just electric. It felt electric. But, you know, like...
Like when you meet someone who's going to be in your life, you just know sometimes.
You totally know. Yeah. You do. And, you know, I just, I saw Randy, but I was like, this guy, he seems older than me. Like, there's been too many, like, tricks played on me before.
How old did you think he was?
I thought he was 30. Yeah. I thought he was 30.
Backwards baseball cap. If he doesn't show you his teeth, he easily looks 30.
I know, right? I know. So that's what that's the look he had that day. But then, you know, later on in our relationship, I actually found out he was 37. But, like, I don't know. I felt like that wasn't such a big deal. Like, I have a stepbrother who's 37. Like, I can, you know, I get what he's like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, this is fine. But yeah, it was like a 13-year age difference at the
time.
So
he like came up, did he like come over to talk to you? Or how did that happen?
Yeah, he came up to me and he said, nice dreads. First of all, my hair gets like a lot of attention and I just had a particularly beautiful seashell that I had found that morning. So he complimented my seashell. And then he said that I looked like a beautiful mermaid he had a dream about.
And he said that thing about I could see into your face.
Yeah, and he said, I can see into your face. He said, I can see who you are. But the thing that I always tease him about is that he wasn't looking at my face. He was looking at my chest.
Oh my God.
I know.
That
I know.
Is so Randy. Like, he thinks you can't tell when his eyes are wandering, but they wander like all the time.
All the time. I know. But, you know, so, you know, we were talking and a couple Long Island iced teas later and I was back at his apartment.
What was that like? I've never been to his place.
It was nice. The light of the aquarium, like, you know, he's got these, like, frogs, and so the lights of the aquariums, or, I'm sorry, terrariums, it gave, like, a soft glow to his apartment, and we made love.
Is he good at sex, or is it just weird? I don't know.
Why would it be weird?
Because he's, like, into lots of stuff. Like, from what I understand.